And we exalt your name, O King of Kings. We magnify you, O Lord of Lords. We ask this morning that you come in our midst and be glorified. We bring down every idol, every high thing that have been elevated to obscure your reality in our hearts. And we ask that you look upon us with mercy. Guide us into the depth of your calling. We glorify you. We honor you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Now, in this solemn atmosphere, and with the gravity of the Holy Ghost that is in this place, I'd like you to take your seat. Don't bother greeting the person by your side. Maintain the gravity. Hallelujah. So I want to use this opportunity to welcome every one of us to the Festival of Glory 2023. Amen. And we'll bring special welcomes to our brothers and sisters that came all the way from different continents to come to the city of Makurdi. Brethren from the United States of America, brethren from Europe, brethren from different parts of the world, and our brothers from South Africa, Uganda, you are welcome in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, we want to look at what I believe the Lord has been troubling me about for a few days now. Why revival tarries? Why revival tarries? Genesis chapter 1. Why revival tarries? Why that which God intends to bring into the earth has tarried? I'll bring a few points. And as I bring the few points, I'm trusting that we will pattern our lives according to the prescription of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. Now my emphasis is in verse 4. Because the moment God brought in light, he did something. He did something so critical. It is something so important that we need to take note of. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. The first thing God did when he brought in the light was to divide the light from the darkness. That's the principle of separation. He said, light be together. Darkness be together. So there was a clear-cut demarcation between light and darkness. Now, come with me. Maybe I need to show you the civilization that is in heaven. And then you will see the principle of separation in that civilization called heaven. When we are able to see this, then I will show you the Antichrist strategy to rid the church of his authority, to rid the church of his power, to rid the church of his glory. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Still in keeping with the principle of separation, I'd like us to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21. From verse number 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb at the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor to it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations to it. Verse 27 is my emphasis. Please look at it again. You will see the principle of separation. And they shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever walketh abomination or maketh a lie. That's what I want to draw your attention to. Are you with me? The principle of separation. Because the idea that God has is to develop a homogeneous civilization, where everything that is revealed therein is a reflection of the Spirit of Christ. That's the purest civilization you can ever find. And the principle of separation is in the heart of maintaining the integrity of that civilization. I don't have time. I can go on and show you the New Jerusalem as it is descending from heaven. It is a civilization of God, an organic civilization of God. The first metaphor that was used to depict this civilization was the walls. And the walls is suggestive of the principle of separation. Are you there? Or you are not there? I'm going deep. I'm going far. But I need to take you with me, so that you will be able to identify what Satan has done to our generation. And that which Satan has done to our generation has eaten into the fabric of our reality. The reason for which we desire revival is because we need God to intervene in the church of our day, to reinstall separation. Come with me. So separation was a principle that was built into the physical creation. If I take you to the book of Genesis chapter 6, which I need to take you to, you are going to see a scenario where the principle of separation was violated. The loudest, the first time in scripture, where the principle of separation was violated. And I'd like us to take inventory of the consequences that followed when the principle of separation was violated. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, we are still trying to develop a concept. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair, and they took them wives of all that they chose." Principle of separation was violated. Now, I've been studying that scripture for a long time, and it is safe. There are two interpretations to that scripture that would not violate the integrity of scripture all through the Bible. Now, one of such interpretations suggests that the sons of God are angelic personalities. And that is supported by the book of Job chapter 32. That is supported by that. Are you with me? Now, so this, and you will find the Bible making some reference to that subsequently in the New Testament, how that some angels that violated, left their own estate, they left their habitation, they violated their territory, and they got involved with humankind. The Bible says that, are you there with me? It was the principle of separation that was violated in the book of Genesis chapter 6. Should I show you the consequences of that violation? The first consequence is in verse 3. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. So the first consequence of that violation was that this is the first time in the Bible that man was called flesh. The Spirit of God expressed his reluctance to strive with man. That means trying to quicken him to the reality of his state. God was no longer interested at the point that man became flesh. Are you there? And then you will find that scripture also revealing the scope of man's tenancy upon the face of the earth. You know, when you pay your rent, in Nigeria, we pay our rent annually. I heard that in the United States, you people pay on a monthly basis. Now, but in Nigeria, we pay our rent annually. And the moment you pay, you are entitled to that property. You can even grow crops in the backyard. You can start a garden. You take full possession. And your tenancy begins to count from the time of your payment. You'll be due for another payment after that tenancy expires. That's the law. Now, so, the moment man became flesh, what God did was that he declared the scope of his tenancy. He called it 120 jubilees. Right? You know, that word years in that verse of scripture is actually jubilees, which means 50 years. 50 times 120 is what? Is 6,000. So that's man's tenancy upon the face of the earth. God declared it, that now that you have become flesh, your tenancy will expire after 6,000 years. Are you there with me? Second consequence of violating the principle of separation. Verse 6. And he repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. So God was regretting that he made man. And the reason for the regret was because he had violated the principle of what? Separation. Another consequence, which is the most bogus consequence, is in verse 11. Verse 11. Are you there? Oh, you are not there. I say, are you there? In verse 11, the Bible says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. This was the offshoot of the illegal union that was contracted. First thing is that there was corruption, and the corruption was widespread. Second thing is that violence sprang forth. You know, the last time I was attending to this scripture, I said, God did not create any wild animal. And the congregation said, what we call wild animals derive from the violence that filled all the earth. That was not the original configuration of things. And I still see your faces. You are still confused that pastor has missed it. Pastor, I don't know what's wrong with pastor today. Okay. I'm going to show you a prototype of what will be obtainable when Jesus comes to pioneer his millennial reign. Then you are going to see the scope of things, and then you'll find out that what we have now is a violation. It's a situation of malfunctioning. Now, in the book of Isaiah, are you still with me? Was he trying to lay the foundation before I start this journey? Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, you are going to see something here. Isaiah chapter 11 is talking about the messianic spirit upon Jesus Christ, and it will be fully manifested in his brightest colors during the millennial reign. Now, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, you are going to see the implication of Jesus becoming the governor among the nations. Because in the millennial reign, Jesus is going to become a literal king over the earth for 1,000 years. This is descriptive of the impact of his reign. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion shall fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. This is what we call factory reset. Creation goes back to its original shape. So the violence that you see in the book of Genesis chapter 6 is a product of the defiance of the principle of separation. It produced what the New Testament calls the bondage of corruption, and it also produced violence. Now, a lot of things in the balances that God puts in place will be obstructed the moment we violate the principle of separation. Did you get that to that point? Now, so let me show you the strategy of the Antichrist. And the strategy of the Antichrist is deepened in the Nigerian church. The first strategy of the Antichrist is to ensure that he violates the principle of separation. That's the first strategy. And when the principle of separation is violated, oh my God, darkness strangles the potential of light. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 to 20. Let me show you the principle of the Antichrist before we continue on the journey. He said, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. This is how we know that it is, we are in the last days. There will be many Antichrists. That means the spirit of the Antichrist will begin to work, and many individuals there be that will be operating with the spirit of the Antichrist. Before the person of the Antichrist comes into manifestation, in full-blown manifestation, the spirit of the Antichrist will go to work, and there are many people that will operate by the spirit of the Antichrist. Are you there? Okay. This is how we know. This is the evidence that it is the last time. This is the evidence that it is, we are in the last days. The spirit of the Antichrist will become the operating system of many individuals. And it will surprise you to know from the next verse, you are going to see that the spirit of the Antichrist is going to be operational even on some individuals that are part of the things we do as church. Okay. Now, this is still in keeping with the spirit of the Antichrist. He said, they went out from us. That means the spirit of the Antichrist was operating in our midst. And there were individuals that were operating by the spirit of the Antichrist that were in our midst. But we did not have any means to check them. And because we could not check them, we lost our separation. We accepted a civilization that was all-inclusive. We accepted a civilization that subscribed to ecumenism. You know what ecumenism is? Oh. I don't want to define it. When you leave this place, click on your phone, go to Google and find out what ecumenism is. If I define it, there's no way. No, I will not define it. Are you there? Don't worry, I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. You see, they were not of us. But were compelled by the religious correctness of our time to accommodate them in our midst, even though they were not of us. And that accommodation violated the principle of separation. And any time the principle of separation is violated, it will produce corruption and violence. The Nigerian church was a golden church of Africa. The revival that sprang forth from our borders was unequaled in the stories of revival that we hear. You've heard about Azusa? It's just that what happened on our soil was not documented. And that's our limitation. It wasn't documented. I've read about many mighty men that rose in the nations of the world. There's no story that I've read about that comes anywhere near what happened through that man, Apostle Joseph Babalola. Near! No story. But you see, it wasn't documented. So we believe it never happened. A man that during praise and worship, as they are singing praise and, like we just did, he levitates. When you see that Western Nigeria received the gospel, most of us don't know what it means. It was when I was to marry my wife, they were based in Ile Ife. So I used to go to Ile Ife to see the family and stuff like that until we got married. And when we now got married, I was working in Lagos, so I was going to visit my in-laws once and again. That was when I discovered what was in that city. Now, these people have advanced in their knowledge of divination to a level of accuracy. The lens of divination has been adjusted to accommodate accuracy. What the Ifa priest prophesies comes to pass. In fact, most of our tribes are settled where they are settled today because of divination. And there was no stronger tribe in Nigeria today in divination than our brothers from the West. But there was a revival that overcame that foundation. And whether you like it or not, there is a prophetic spirit that is hanging over people from Western Nigeria. It's not natural. It came through the witness of a man. During presence, he doesn't want to raise the dead. He's just worshiping God. And he sees that angels will lift him up. Are you there? So I have a chronicle in my library, a very fat chronicle. Somebody took time to put the details of that man's life together. And they sent me a copy. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know who sent it, but it's in my library. None of the things you read in God's Generals comes close to what God did through that man. Are you talking about people that were raised from the dead? That's lunch box issues. Are you talking about healing sicknesses? In fact, the man operated in healing to a point that he became tired of praying for the sick. And he went and prayed over a little stream that was in his neighborhood. And people were going into the stream for healing. And how many years, 20-something years after he died, a madman still entered that stream and came back healed. The will of God, the dimensions of the expectations of God concerning the potential of the church in this nation was eclipsed by darkness. And what we have today in its best is a state of compromise. And this state of compromise was occasioned by the violation of several principles that are critical to maintaining the civilizations that come from God. Are you still with me? Now, this is the Antichrist strategy. He said they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. So you are going to see statements like from us, of us, with us. Are you following?
He said, if they were of the same substance, if we were homogeneous, the proof of the fact that we're of the same stock would have been that they would have continued with us. But they went out from us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So if the devil wants to strangle that which God is doing, the first ground of compromise he will sell to us is to violate the principle of separation. Are you still with me? Okay. Now that you are coming gradually, let me also come gradually. Can we do Exodus chapter 12 from verse 33 to 38? You will see one of the major challenges of the church in the wilderness. I hope you know when I say the church in the wilderness, you know what I mean. When Brother Stephen was giving his recap on the move of God that had been captured in the nation of Israel, when he came to Moses, Okay, so please give me Acts. Before we go to Exodus, can we do Acts chapter 7, verse 37 and 38? Let me establish. Meanwhile, we're going to do, next year, we'll do a teaching, because I'm developing it already, the church in the wilderness. By the time we finish that teaching from start to finish, your eyes, you have new eyes and new lenses. If you visit a place that they call a church and it is not a church, you will know. Yes, that's the reason for that teaching. If you lose your capacity for discernment, you, in the name of church, you will serve devils. Because the principle of separation has been compromised. So what we have is no longer homogeneous, it is heterogeneous. So this is Stephen trying to give us an insight into the person and the ministry of Moses. He said, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear. Verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness, and with the angel which spake to him in Mount Sinai, with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So Moses was considered as the shepherd of the church in the wilderness. The church in the wilderness journeyed from the land of captivity into the land of promise. The church in the wilderness stopped 42 times in the journey. Are you there? So there were 42 stations that the church stopped. And by the time you go to the book of Matthew, you are going to see in the book of Matthew, when the generations of ancestors leading to Christ was captured in the book of Matthew, you are going to see that it was 42 generations, which is consistent with the 42 stations that Israel stopped when they were transiting from the house of bondage into the house of promise. So, if we study the church in the wilderness accurately, you will see a prophetic journey of the church of Jesus in every age. In fact, you can even trace and track where the American church is in that journey. You can trace and track where the Ghanaian church is on that journey. So what I want to do now is to show you that even in the church in the wilderness, Satan had already pioneered this principle of removing separation from the advancement, so that anything that God gets at the end of the day will be a compromised position. And the glory of God in its entirety and fullness will not be able to rest on that civilization because it doesn't look like the arrangement that is established in the heavens. Meanwhile, the idea of God is that thy will be done on earth the same way it is done in heaven. Exodus chapter 12, verse 33. Then you will see what Satan did. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was living, and their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Sukkoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. Verse 38. Can you see that? And a mixed multitude went also up with them, and flocks and herds and very much cattle. The guys were moving. What Satan did was that he smuggled. Oh my God, you are not following me. You are not here. I've not started striking the matters. They are matters. They are obvious matters in the landscape of the church of our day that I want to open your eyes to. But we need to start with scripture so that you will not say it's an invention of my own strategy, an invention of my own thinking. I had what I wanted to say before I came and tried to look for scriptures to align with. The Bible is not capable of private interpretation. It's a book of one author and many writers. And that's why the principle of witness must be satisfied in bringing out a position of truth. Are you there? A mixed multitude. Satan now arranged a mixed multitude. This mixed multitude, they have a different God. They have different ways. They have different approaches to life. They have different philosophies. This mixed multitude joined themselves to the people that God was delivering to set up a nation that was a nation under God, so that God's authority in its fullest extent would be found and factored among the people, and God will be able to manifest the same civilization that is in heaven upon the face of the earth. In order to forestall this, why no one was watching, a mixed multitude also say, we are delivered. And they followed them. You know, this verse is quiet in the book of Genesis, in the book of Exodus. It's quiet. It's a mixed multitude. And then you think, okay, that's all. Wait. Numbers chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. The devil will always attack the principle of separation. And if he succeeds in doing this, he has compromised our civilization. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. Can you see God fighting against his people? And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Verse 4, and a mixed multitude that was among them fell a lost him. So it is the loss of the mixed multitude. They will share it among the congregation. When you hear them agitating, say, hey, who we need? The engineer of that campaign is a little fraction of the population is a mixed multitude. They have a different God. They have different principles. They were not children of Israel. They did not know the God of Israel. They did not subscribe to the God of Israel. What made the God of Israel to fight against his people and to release fire on his own people was because of the lost of the mixed multitude. So if Satan wants to downgrade the quality of Christianity, what he does is that he gets people from his camp to become pastors. And then he makes sure that these pastors have a loud voice. And guess what? These guys will be pushing for the golden plan. And the golden plan is ecumenism. In ecumenism, let us come together. You are different, I'm different. We have a different God. You have a different God. You worship something else. But for political correctness, let us just be together. So the golden plan of Satan, of the spirit of the Antichrist, is to push for ecumenism. And in ecumenism, we are heterogeneous. In ecumenism, we are not of the same sort. We don't worship the same God. We don't subscribe to the same principles. We are not operating from the same source. We don't have the same values. But so that it will look as if we are one, let us unite. Somebody's an Ezemo. He has an altar. He dances to the spirit naked in the night. But ecumenism will recommend that it is in our interest to be one. But if we try to subscribe to ecumenism, you will discover that what will drive our civilization will be the loss of the mixed multitude. Under such circumstances, the mixed multitude will become powerful, more powerful than the original lot. And because of that, we'll provide concessions to accommodate the mixed multitude in such a way that there will be no crisis. And in that compromise, what we have done is that we have violated the principles of separation. And the product is going to be corruption and what? And violence. I cried from this platform as I was teaching on sanctification, which is a core doctrine area in New Testament Christianity. I was led by the Lord to begin to build our foundations of faith again. And I started from the Old Testament to show us how that God was holy. And in order for us to walk with God, we will have to be holy. It is impossible to do business with a God that is holy if you are not like him. And I did a very detailed study of how the children of Israel, they were going to partner with God, but it was impossible to partner with God because of the nature of God's holiness. And the entire book of Leviticus was written to see the sacrifices and the things that were required in order to make sinful man to walk with a holy God. That's the reason for which the entire book of Leviticus was written. In order to reveal the basis of our sanctification, if we were going to interact and to have business with a God that is holy. Are you there? I also showed that anywhere God was considered holy. and that the latitude of the temple was measured according to degrees of holiness. We have the outer court. We have the holy place. Then we have what? The Holy of Holies. That if you are going to operate in intimacy with God, you'll be confronted by his bold nature of holiness. And that should make you adjust. If you, in case you want to do business with the God that is between the cherubims. In fact, those days, when the high priest is going into the Holy of Holies to transact with God, there is a rope that is used to tie his waist. Just in case he stands before God and God doesn't find him in the context of holiness, God will kill him. So when God kills him, nobody can go into the Holy of Holies. They will use that rope to draw him out of the presence of God and go and bury him. It means that the priest doesn't even know if the status of his right standing until he stands before Jehovah. So in the New Testament, to avoid slaughter, what was done in the New Testament is that the blood of Jesus becomes the token. The blood is already dead. That means we are dead. We are already dead. Death is already smelling. And then it's under the death of Jesus that he has accepted that we can now come boldly. The God in the New Testament has not changed from the old one. But you see, the philosophy of the New Testament is that you come to God and begin to deal with God. The moment you begin to see the way he is, that he is holy, all right, you, through repentance, will begin to adjust to accommodate the fact that he doesn't change. This is how he is. So, and the blood of Jesus is available to take care of our errors when we see him and we discover that we are not like him. That blood is available to make us right with him so that we can keep journeying with him. The idea is that as we keep journeying with him, we'll keep changing until we sustain the very image of Christ, where we become reflective of God in everything that we do 24 hours in a day. I cried from here. That don't claim you are a minister of the gospel when you are dwelling perpetually in iniquity. Are you following what I'm talking about? What, we are not the same. If you can dwell perpetually in iniquity, it means you have not met the God of redemption. Because if I make a mistake, the Holy Ghost will know he has left. And he will show me his displeasure 100%. He cannot cope up. He cannot keep up with this kind of character. He's so sensitive. You will never know him until you come close. When you come close, you will not discover. Are you there? Then I will now stay before him in repentance for a long time until he says, okay, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. Rise up, rise up. Hallelujah. Some of you, what you will do is you just plead the blood and say, I receive forgiveness. Because you don't know that God is a person. You use the textbook to deal with him. And you don't know that he has feelings. You don't know that he's a person. You don't know that you need to stay before him until he registers the fact that, okay, my anger has been sated. We can continue working together. In my work with God, sometimes I'm preaching here and I tell you something that God has not sanctioned me to tell you. He will leave me on this pulpit. And that has happened like 9 times. While you are hailing me that, oh, our pastor is a great teacher, I go home to cry because I know he left me. You will see how sensitive God is. So if a preacher, a so-called preacher, can dwell in immorality, it means he has not met this God that I preach. Are you following? Oh, you are not following me. You are not. He has not met this God that I preach. It is going to be a gross misrepresentation of God for me to claim that I'm in fellowship with that man under the guise of ecumenism. Because if I do that, what will happen is that what God wants to do with me will be compromised. Because the principle of separation is critical to maintaining the purity and the jealousy of that which God wanted to do. If you are still with me, say amen. A preacher was caught in a situation of national misconduct. He never left the pulpit to seek alignment with God, because for him, the pulpit is the business. He never left the pulpit. Never repented. Kept boasting about his departure in character. And Nigerian preachers rose up to defend him. That guy has not restituted his ways till today. And he's still on the pulpit saying, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And people that have been bewitched still go to sit before him. And all of that is done in the name of the Lord. Are you still with me? Let me show you a few scriptures. When there were attempts in the days of the apostles to infiltrate, I will show you what happened in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. The real church is about to emerge from the fallen one. Yes. If you know, when you begin to keep your conviction, keep your commitment to God, and people, other believers will say, ah, the way you are praying, is this? Did you sin? What is it? When you hear that, it is an attempt to diminish your brightness. The real church is about to rise up. Let me tell you, there's going to be a massive separation. The gap between the false light and the true light that has been dwelling side by side, the gap will start becoming wider. The reason is because of the presence of true apostolic people that can bear witness of the reality of the living God. The other day, somebody sent a text. I say, we will kill you. We will kill you. You know what? Don't send a text. If you see me, kill me. You sending text is for weak people. If it is given unto you to do it, I challenge you in the name of Jesus. You don't know the fire that the God I serve carries. You will need more than a threat to stop us. I have seen death turn backward. Witches invoked death to take me, and he actually came. I saw death turn backward. My end will not come by blight. It will not come by a bomb. It will only be because the God of heaven says, it's time to come. When you see us, kill us. Don't send text messages. That's for weak people. We died long time ago. You can't threaten me with death. The true church is about to emerge. And the great divide will be wider. You will know the sorcerers in a short while, because of the blazing brightness of the light of God that will come from his true witnesses. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Acts chapter 8 from verse 14. Now when the apostles which were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was falling upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid there their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, now, please follow what Peter said. Number one, thy money perish with thee. Why? Because thou hast taught that the gift of God may be purchased with money. There's a preacher on the pulpit, he boasted that he took a certain amount to a certain preacher and received his anointing. And people were saying, hallelujah. Amen. Jesus. That was what earned this man a curse. Thy money perish with thee. Because what? Thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Number two, go on. Can you see the second statement? He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter. It means you are not born again. You cannot mingle among us. You have no part. And it is the Spirit of God that drew that wall. You can't mix because we are separated. We cannot talk about unity until we talk about the issue of separation. If you are separated unto God and I'm separated unto God, we don't need to preach unity. We will blend because our values are one. Our pursuits are one. Our desires are one. The reason why we've been trying to do, how many of you were part of student union when you were on campus? Union is not unity. The moment the object of our separation is one, then unity is possible. Unity is possible. Unity is possible. There's a certain place that I decided that I would not preach here because of several things that happened. So a preacher came and invited me from there. In my heart, it was already no. But I said I should ask God. And God approved. And I was wondering why God did not honor my desire not to preach. Until I now went for the invitation. And I saw that we had the same God. And that he had gone to our God and asked him, bring that man. Even though I did not want to go, I found myself there. And I found a brother. A brother basking in the fires of God. Are you there? So it was no longer about my own human persuasion. My position was overruled because it was in touch with the God of our fathers. You don't need to preach unity. If we are separated unto the same God, we will find alignment. When you begin to hear people say, believers, we don't love ourselves. This, calm down. Don't go. If go and look for your glasses and put it on and watch him. He's trying to push for ecumenism because he's standing on foreign ground. Standing on strange ground. The man says, you have no part in this matter. There is no portion of our allotment that falls to you. You are a stranger to this economy. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. This is the first time I've seen a man that was able to detect a man's heart. Because in the Old Testament, it was, he said, men look on the outward, but God looks on the... This man picked his heart. Thy heart is not right in the sight of God. You are not yet born again, but you'll be masquerading. And evangelist Philip had baptized this man. He had baptized him. The man was already gunning to become assistant pastor in the move. Because Satan wanted to orchestrate an occasion of a mixed multitude in that revival. And then the apostles came. You have no part in this matter. Is there someone that is making you comfortable with compromise? Is there someone that is making you no longer care about your life of fornication? Is there someone that is making you feel that, okay, you know, I was at the airport, which day was that? Was when were we at the airport? So somebody confronted me with scriptures. And he said, are we really Christians or we are saints? I knew where he was going. Because in falling Christianity, what we present to the people is the structure, the internal structure. How that it is possible for you to be born again, and it's a reality that your heart bears witness to, and there's no evidence outside. Meanwhile, your spirit became recreated, and the evidence to prove that your spirit is regenerated is that they are fruit of the regenerated human spirit, which are evident to see. Huh? When you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial evidence of being baptized in the Holy Ghost was that you spoke in tongues. There was something external. And the ultimate evidence is that you have the capacity to walk with the Holy Ghost, be led by the Holy Ghost, and become a creature that manifests everything that is in the will of God. Are you there? There was nothing that God did that there was no external dimension to it. So if you say that the unbelievers were the guys that called us Christians, so we are not Christians. What we are saints, because that's the position that we attain by new birth. It means that you are accepting that a coin has only one side. You are accepting that you can clap with one hand. Because those things you ask are two sides of the same coin. It's the front and the back end. If I'm born again, there should be a manifestation. If I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, there should be what? A manifestation. And if you study your Bible, you find out that one of the qualifications for eldership is that an elder should have a good report even among unbelievers. And it's the unbelievers that gave us the name Christian. And what it means in Greek is little Christ. They were manifesting Christ. They were from different languages, different tribes, but there was one thing that was a common denominator among them. The life of Christ was revealed through their vessel. It was an observation testimony. By the time we finished the theology, there was no question. Because there's a campaign to begin. Half truth is not truth, it's deception. It's holding the truth in unrighteousness. What is the name of your God? Some people went somewhere for healing and they had to take water and drink the water, and then there's one altar there, they will bow down before it, bow down, you will not wear shoes. What did you just do? Bowing down before an altar, an image? The devil has done over time on your case. Receive grace to stand in your conviction, even if it's not popular. When you find a preacher whose message does not divide, you know, if I begin to preach about Jesus, anyone serving Satan will know that I've exposed him. Are you following? If your message does not divide, it's pampas Satanists, in pampas Christians, pampas thieves, pampas fornicators. You see, you know, it's balanced teaching. We are in the middle, you know, so that everybody will. You are not a follower of Jesus Christ. You are a man pleaser. I hope you have seen it in the Bible that if I am a man pleaser, I cannot be in the service of God. God will make you different. He will not make you popular, he will make you different. What it means to be holy is that you are different. Wait, listen. If we go to the market and we buy 10 cups and we take 5 cups to the temple, the same cups, we say, these ones, we have brought them for God. Then we now take 5, the rest of the 5, take them home. If the priest comes and anoints those cups, from the day the anointing came on the cups can no longer be used for any human thing. It's only good for use in the service of God. So these cups are called holy cups. The same cups, the ones you use to give people water, give your baby water, used to pour water into the radiator of your car. Those cups that have been dedicated to God cannot be used for mundane purposes. Those ones now only have use in the service of God. So those cups, even though they look alike, they are different. Holiness will make you different. The way normal common people that fornicate in the market are, you will be different. The way normal people do business, that's not how you will do business. You will be different. The way normal everyday pastors do ministry, that's not how you will be. You will be different. If it is not evident that you are different, what you have sold for, what you have bought is called ecumenism. You want to be in the center so that politically you look right, you look correct. You look like the one that is trying to bring everybody together. But what you are doing is idolatry. When God descends in the land, it is such as you that he will destroy first. That compromise, when God comes, he will destroy you first. Because you are the very image of compromise. Are you there? Forgive me, I'm not called to preach to babes. I bear a rod from God. This is the same message I preach to kings. It doesn't change. If you cast me away, I have transport to go back home. So when I go, I... Woo! I take komina lai koborosik. A politician invited me and said, we heard you hear God. So I want to contest for an election. Can you ask God and find out if I'm going to win? I said, that's very simple. So I went to the hotel that they gave me. Prayed from morning till evening the first day. Prayed from morning to afternoon. And in the afternoon, while I was still speaking in tongues, I saw a vision. I saw the guy that invited me. He stumbled on 2 stones and he fell and he couldn't stand up. I packed my things. And you know, when you go on trips like that, go with transport. The man I'm talking about, if you stand before him, you will lie. He has stature. So what I did was that I didn't look at him. I looked this way. I said, don't say the law! Do not contest. You will fail. And you will utterly fall. Guess what? My transport money became relevant. He didn't even survive in the primaries. Because he attempted that election, the witches in the neighborhood found fault with him. You know, in the vision, he stumbled, he fell, he utterly fell. He couldn't. He needed me again, even after the election, because the witches struck him. And he was afflicted. So he didn't. He was calling me the second time, not to find out about his prospects, but to deliver him from affliction. Can we pray? Can we pray that God will help us keep our conviction, even though it may not be popular? Your conviction may not be popular, but it's in keeping with the civilization of the heavenlies for you to be homogeneous. I serve God and I serve God only. We were doing deliverance somewhere in northern Nigeria, and we found this witch very equipped with demonic power, and she was caught up by the Holy Ghost and came down, and the power of darkness broke from her. But there was a power she desired to retain, which is a power to look at you if she's angry and afflict you. So even though the deliverance took place, she was brought into church. She liked being in the choir. She was already in the choir, but she retained that power. So that if anybody tries her, it will use, as long as she held on to the power, she was not of Jesus. As long, she didn't let go that power, even though she was integrated into church life, she was a stranger. God came again, this time to kill. That was when she let go a power on the eyes and became altogether of Jesus. I met her some years ago, and she didn't have that power. She was a follower, ardent follower of Jesus Christ. Oh my God, can we stop the mixtures? Can we stop the mixtures? God wants one pure breed. When Jesus looked, he saw one of his disciples coming. He said, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile, of one sort, of one kind, of one fashion, of one principle, of one source. For there is one God and one faith, one baptism, even one Lord Jesus Christ. It's one. Because he wants one. He wants one. He wants one. Can we ask God? Oh my God. 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 That the Lord will give us the grace to be irritated by anything that is not of the Holy Ghost. The wall must be put in place in order for us to preserve the civilization that comes from heaven. I will walk the path of righteousness. I will travel on the streets of holiness. My generation might call me a Jew, a man that is laid back, but the fires of the glory of God will burn upon my spirit. Oh, arise, arise, shine, because your light is come. We will not sell out. We will not be compromised. God wants a pure breed, a new generation without greed, a radical opposition against unrighteousness.
Kedia subela tomendi isama kondo. Braskatonde Bayi. Ayato Mokolante. Eskilo. I will not sell out. I will keep my garments white. My head shall not lack ointment. I serve the Lord Jesus. Cast away that weight. Cast off that sin. Come into the light. Sebriala baboko santaria. Abrakasketo bonde laniske. Hebre babodokosia. Abriska fela monde. La kalabonta mir. La kalabasalaya. Ebrasketo benakante. Rababodoko sedia la babokonda. Abramenakune. Asika palatwa. Ebrante kesko. Bringe dalibokose. Ayabo bobo sante. Ayebobo sikabaya. Abrakata babobokore. Eskatolia iso satabaya. Ebrekete. Alabo sata. Alala la la babore. Eskamina kabeba koske. Ebresko tabalaya. Abrakma sante. Abrakma kata bokenda. Asabakata kata babore. Esobria la baboleba. Shabahatane. Ura la la babo soko. In the name of Jesus. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twine he covered his face, and with twine he covered his feet, and with twine he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. As long as that compromise sets in, where we become like the people we were sent to deliver, we lose the authority to deliver them. That's what ecumenism does. It makes you look, have the same weaknesses with the people that God has raised you to deliver out of darkness. I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amidst a people of unclean lips. Do you realize that that guy was in that state all the while? He didn't know. He was prophesying to different nations. It was when he came under the atmosphere of the divine holiness of God, he knew that he was the only ordained in the environment. And he cried, woe is me. A revelation of the holiness of God. A revelation, oh my God, of his awesome holiness and majesty. That was what delivered Isaiah. Can we cry? I said, Lord, don't allow me to be like the people you have sent me to deliver. Don't allow me to be like the individuals you raised me to call out of the darkness. Let the coal of fire be placed upon my tongue, that I might be purged afresh, so that I'll be ready for greater assignments in the kingdom of God. Take the garment of compromise from me. Hey, Kurinasi, Orobo, Siko Preskito Bandela, Ilamo sakatale bondele. Okomba is preskofilande ikabeloketa mina akaisketomo. That's the only way you can take charge of California. That's the only way you can bear witness in New York. That's the only way the altars of Europe will submit to you. Purge us afresh. Make us clean. Make us carry the brilliance of your purity, so that it will be clear that we are different from darkness. We are different from gloominess. Sufelakateya. Ikobos. Belike. Puma sekila bokada. Rusketa mendi. Roke somokoria. Kemosekelia timusa. Prisko pamalait. Esukeba makade. Oh, let the call of fire come my way. Sanctify me. Sanctify me. Sanctify me. Sanctify me. Sanctify me. Sanctify me. Ileko. Bayeko skido bondo robosada. Ika moskete brande kuria branda baboko santo. In the name of Jesus. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Why? Because in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth. And some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore shall purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Is the extent of a man's purging that prepares him for noble tasks in the kingdom of God. So when you find a man gaining mileage and the hand of God is intense upon him, what he did was that he subjected himself for purging. Yeah. He subjected himself to the protocol of purging. Hey. Hey. Will you allow him purging? That your anger cannot travel with him. Your wickedness cannot travel with him. The pornography that you are beginning to like in the night cannot travel with him. And you will decide that you need to be purged. It is when you decide to be purged, you are considered for more noble kingdom tasks. You can decide to be silver. You can decide to be gold. You can decide to be wood. You can decide to be stubble. And you must understand that when the test that will determine your worth is the test of fire. So if you put stubble in fire, what will happen to it? You put wood in fire, what will happen to it? But you put gold in fire, it purifies it. Oh my God. Oh my God. Can we invite Jehovah Mekadishka? The one that sits in the seat of refiner and purifier of silver. Take away the dross. Take away the alloy. Take away the mixture. 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 I submit for potting. 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 I am not of this world. Hey!